Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Rowdy Buddhist podcast. I appreciate everyone's support. It's been inspiring to see how well received all of our podcasts have been. Today, I wanted to talk about, because of our Enkyoji lineage, especially the main disciple of Nichiren Shonin that's responsible for our lineage, and also because it's a rather interesting aspect of Nichiren Buddhism, which is quite different than most traditions as they are transmitted to future generations. That, of course, would be the layperson of Toki Jonin. Toki Jonin is one of the first generation of Nichiren Shonin's most immediate disciples. And it is important to know because each of the disciples have very distinctive aspects that they contributed to the affluence and growing of our tradition. But I think Toki Jonin and our lineage, especially as for what our direction is for Enkyoji, it's important to understand the personality and his contribution. And although he was not what is considered a priest, although I would believe that most of the disciples of Nichiren Shonin, although Tendai priest or ordained priest, they were not fully ordained because every year a fully ordained priest was only one or two out of the entire country. And that was a rather rare thing because it, of course, involved power, that if one was given full vows and full precepts, they had a certain level of power or distinction. So therefore, that was highly regulated. But Toki Jonin was seen as basically the rock of refuge for Nichiren Shonin. And that was always since the beginning when he became a follower. Of course, we know that he opened his home in Shimosa province for the protection of all Nichiren Buddhist believers, especially persecuted believers. And he had converted and given his house over to become one of the most important centers of Nichiren Buddhism, as we can even see today. It's important to understand his status, that his status was as a devout layperson, what is called a nyudo. A nyudo is interesting because it is a layperson who has taken religious vows, but has not yet totally abandoned the obligation, the secular and family obligations of that of a householder. Although in the letters it is signed as he has signed many of his letters as Shami, Toki Jonin, which is interesting because Shami, of course, means novice. That is a really interesting aspect that, of course, this is a hotly debated aspect of the history of our lineage, in that what was his exact status as far as with Nichiren Shonin, whether it was more or just as a lay person. However, of course, this did not dissuade him from being perhaps even the leader of Nichiren Buddhism. And basically, although he had not taken official vows, he had been one of the biggest contributors to the reason why Nichiren Buddhism survived. Of course, at that time, the head government, the Hojo Regency, deeply distrusted him, and especially him, and even Shijo Kingo and Ota Jomyo, who were the three most prominent believers in that particular area, were brought in for questioning because they were seen as diversive and causing disruption and harmony in the government at that time. So they were brought in for questioning and investigated, etc., which must have been very difficult. And as we see, in many families, this had caused dissension because it was the possibility of losing their position or even, of course, losing their life. Because Toki Jonin was so exceptionally learned and studied as a samurai, especially of an upper-level samurai, he received from Nichiren Shonin some of the most important teachings and letters and even documents from Nichiren Shonin. And, of course, he is known to have treasured these documents and made an important aspect and a point to preserve them. That's why we have many of them today. And this, of course, bloomed into his biggest vow after Nichiren Shonin had passed away, was to collect all the copies of the founder's writings and then catalog them for future generations, which was one of the reasons why we have so many letters from Nichiren and Shonin and how they're actually given with background information. That was one of the aspects that this was for the future education of Nichiren and Shonin's teachings and preservation of. And in his will, specifically, when he passed away, he specified that these documents were never to be removed from the protection of his family's temple. And there they have remained as of today. And of course, that is well protected and always a treasure trove of information about our founder, Nichiren and Shonin. Now, in that area, which many people may know, that the current temple or area is called Nakayama, which in that area, three temples became the center of what we would call today the Nakayama school. So these three temples came together to establish our lineage. These three temples were the Mama Guhoji, which was a former Tendai temple, which Nichiren and Shonin put under the direction of his senior disciple, Nicho Shonin, and also Nakayama Hommyoji, which was formerly the residence of Ota Jomyo, and of course, the last one being Wakamiya Hokkeiji, which is the family temple of Tokijonin. That is an extremely important place for us as Enkyoji. Ota Jomyo's son, Nikko, which is not to be confused as with the senior disciple Nikko Shonin, served as the head priest of two of the temples, which then in the future eventually merged into what we know now as the entity called Hokkeikyoji, which has been, of course, one of the most important epicenters of Nichiren Buddhism ever since. Not just for, as which we'll talk about later, the esoteric teachings, but also for the preservation of the teachings in for future generations. It's important to understand Tokijonin's character, that actually he was an extremely important and established natural leader. And so therefore, after and this is of course with some controversy, after Nichiren Shonin's death, he decided to ordain himself as a monk, as a priest, taking the Buddhist name Nichijo. And it's important, and I feel that there is some jealousy that actually, out of all the disciples, very few people in Nichiren and Shonin's life had been entrusted with more important documents, as well as the confidence of the founder prior to Nichiren and Shonin's death. And I believe that if he was a fully ordained monk at that time, he definitely would have been one of the main senior disciples, and I believe even perhaps the leader. But after Nichiren and Shonin's passing, I believe he realized the importance of his position, and at that time, he decided that since Nichiren and Shonin was no longer alive, that he would take upon the option that is in Buddhism to personally ordain himself. And of course, this came with some controversy, in which we'll talk about later in the, especially the Edo period, in which how the other Nichiren Buddhist or Hokkeikyo lineages or lines looked upon the Hokkeikyo or Nakayama lineage with some disdain. Of course, this procedure was not unprecedented. There is an aspect that if there is a dire emergency and there is no master or members of the Sangha to perform the ceremony, one is able to ordain oneself. And of course, he used the Sutra of Meditation on Bodhisattva Universal Virtue, which, of course, in that aspect shows the idea of self-ordination and how it is performed in such a important and strenuous situation. After the person purifies themselves through strenuous preparation or purification. They then take the monastic vows before the eternal Buddha and Shakyamuni Buddha. And they ask Manjushri to be their preceptor in their practice and be the teacher of Maitreya in the world to come in the future, as we know as the future Buddha, to have the law bestowed upon them and to bear witness of all the bodhisattvas of great virtue to support one in their practice. And in that, they take refuge in, of course, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Now, of course, many people don't know, but Tokijonin's stepson, Nicho, which is one of the lesser disciples, was a ordained Tendai monk. But many people may think that why he didn't ask him to do that. And of course, this falls to the idea of the Confucian ethics that a father, or for this instance, a stepfather, is always superior to his son and therefore could not in the social constructs of the situation allow to be ordained by his stepson or kohai or lower position to himself. So therefore he relied on and used the special relationship with Nichiren Shonin to turn, as he believed Nichiren Shonin would have directed him to do, to the Buddha himself. And this, of course, is probably for the later breaking or dissolving of the relationship between Tokijonin and his son, stepson, Nicho Shonin. And, of course, the Nakayama school, which, of course, people see as a self-consecrated body of lay people, it became, and as we know through Enkyoji, became one of the most aggressive and most successful branches of Nichiren Buddhism in propagation. And of course, as I stated before, in the medieval Buddhist time, it was actually seen as an unauthorized school of Nichiren Buddhism, but in that it very much surprised and, of course, inspired people by its deep devotion to study and, of course, to propagation, which, of course, then, in many people's eyes, made it very legitimate. Also, as we know, one of the main aspects of our lineage is that of the esoteric aspect of the 100-day Dai Aragyo, austere training. That is, of course, to allow the practitioner to develop an understanding and awakening to the spiritual realm so that they can be able to perform this ceremony of purification and manifestation of Buddha nature in allowing the elements and, as we see, in a medicinal aspect to protect and empower the practitioner. Now, as we may or may not know, this practice was also seen as something different than perhaps many of the other lineages, even to this day, accept or do not accept. There are some lines of Nichiren Buddhism within Nichirenshu that do not accept this particular ascetic practice and actually seen it as something contrary to the original ideas of Nichiren Shonin. So therefore, I wanted to tell a little bit about, of course, this is a very general explanation of Tokijonin, who is the founder of our Nakayama lineage, in which Enkyoji is part of. But it's most important for us, and of course, the information in history that keeps coming out, we're able to see more and more that perhaps, and this is a more, accepted theory is now that perhaps there was a ordination or empowerment by Nichiren Shonin. As we can see in our lineage, the transmission of such important documents that are the basis for the Aragyo called the Kitosho, which are particularly the esoteric documents transmitted just to Tokijonin from Nichiren Shonin. That is seen as a speciality of our lineage. But with that also the zeal of propagation, in which later we'll go on to, of course, some of our famous ancestors and teachers of the Nakayama lineage, which we'll go on to in our next series. So I hope all of you, this gives you a little bit of background about the beginnings of Enkyoji lineage. And I hope all of you will tune in for the next segment, in which we'll continue on with some of the important priests and histories of the Enkyoji lineage. So I hope all of you be well, and see you next time. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo.